Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
And we happen to have the cash, but like you say, like that's why our savings account is still only $1,000, because there
things come up. Yeah, and you have a lot of people, right? There's like
so many people.
There's Barbara. A lot of people in your family. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who is interested in being a guest. It is completely anonymous, so we'll let you choose a fake name and we will hide identifiable information so you can come on the show and share freely. It is a full hour to an hour and a half with me, Barbara, and we'll do a deep dive on your finances, where you're doing well, where maybe you're struggling, and come up with a game plan for how to reach your financial goals. To be a guest, you just need to put a submission in either on Instagram or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And you just need to be a female. As we've said before, this podcast is produced with Amy, Alex, and myself, so an all-female team. And our goal is to help improve financial education amongst women. So that is why we interview women about their finances. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in being a guest, please put in a submission on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, or send us a message on Instagram.
Hello, lovely listeners. This is Amy, the editor of the podcast. This is part two of a two-part episode with Sarah. We released last week's episode on May 23rd. In last week's episode, we were introduced to Sarah. Sarah is a 46-year-old middle school teacher married to a paramedic. Her and her husband live in the Southwest and have four boys. In that episode, Barbara and Sarah went over her salary, her husband's job, their pension plans, health insurance, and the challenges of managing a household with four boys. Please listen to that episode before you continue to listen to this one for all of the good, juicy context.
So my plan right now was sort of to do, we have a little bit going to 528s for the boys.
529s, yeah.
Thank you. That's what I meant. It's not much.
And depending on your state, you can get a state tax deduction for them. It just depends on what state you're in. So you might get a deduction.
We also have right now, depending on what the future holds, but I think we're going to be able to stay with it at least for the first two. We have free public college.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah.
For the residents of our state. Thank you. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, and politically it looks like that's probably here to stay at least for the older two.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
So that'll be helpful.
That'll be super helpful because I'm going to maybe use some of the 529 to get us through high school.
Yeah, because you can use it for that.
Mm-hmm, if our financial aid package should change because I have to reapply for it every year.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have that. And how much you have in those?
They're totaling $9,000. Right.
Perfect. Because you can use them between siblings. So they're
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we and our second boy has autism. He's going to stay at my charter, which is going to go through 12 by the time he graduates. And it's a better fit for him than this private school. And then probably my third will go, I don't know. We might have one year of two private school tuitions, but okay. That's it. Just one.
One. Okay. Yeah. And you can use the 529 is a very flexible. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the 529. I think it's a great program.
I am too. So that's why I upped we're sending at least 300 a month there now. Okay. I may have just upped it more actually, because I wanted to open one for the baby who's not a baby now. He is 8 years old.
That's okay. But you can open one, but you also don't have to complicate it because you can move it around with siblings and change names. So.
Okay. Really? Yeah. Maybe then I will.
Just keep your life simple and just keep adding to it and see what child needs it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, very flexible. Okay, perfect. And then what about other savings? Like what's in the deferred comp? Are you in a 403B at work?
Deferred comp is with the chunk we murdered it with is $35,000.
It's the loan. You have a loan of $35,000 on it.
No, we have a loan of $20,000. Sorry.
Of $20,000. Okay.
The total in there is $35,000. I just looked at it.
$35,000. Okay. But you have a loan of $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So $35,000 to for comp. Okay. And then do you have a retirement savings at work?
Yeah. This was the one thing I didn't get to get into before we were meeting. I looked at my paycheck. I can look at it again. Actually, I'm going to look at it again because I bet you can do that math really easily, whereas I cannot. Employer contribution, I am paying in each paycheck, I am paying in $244.
Okay, great.
And then I'm paying in $23 to something called the co-retiree healthcare authorization. So maybe I will have healthcare in retirement.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, that would be a good question. Teachers sometimes do retire with healthcare. So yeah. I would find out about that.
That would be so exciting.
It would be great because then you wouldn't have to work till 65. That's when Medicare kicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there are sometimes when you go to work to make your life easy, because I know you're busy with, you know, four kid dogs just moving. There are some people that study their benefits at work. Sometimes the older people closer to retirement really know what's going on because they've done all the meetings. They have their plan in place. Find that person at work who everyone's like, oh, you know, I'll just use a random name. Cheryl knows everything. Or you will sometimes find that older person at work who's like nearing retirement. Not everybody, but there are some people that really like this stuff and have square rooted it all. And they know exactly what day they get the most out of their pension. They know what the health benefits are. They know every little bit of your benefit package. And if you find that person... They will have already done all the meetings, done all the calls, read all the documents, and they can maybe give you the cliff notes.
Yeah, that is really terrific advice. Thank you.
I always find one of them when I go into employers and I do classes. I usually find some person who's like, no, our contract was this and you're a different contract. That contract didn't do as well. They only got 80. We get 90. You always find somebody who like has learned, goes all in on it.
Yeah.
So you just have to find that person. There's always, I have never been in a workplace where there's nobody. There's always one person who's like square rooted the benefit system.
I've got a couple of people in mind to go ask.
Okay. Yeah. Just ask. And they'll be very excited you want to know because they did all this work and not everybody cares. Yeah. It's their side hustle. They did all this work and nobody really cares about the day it went into practice or how it got negotiated. But there will be somebody at work that this is. They're very excited. So yeah. And then they can give you the cliff note.
The employer contribution is $414.
$414?
Yeah. Per paycheck.
Wow. That's great. And you get paid 24 times or 26 times a year? It's every 2 weeks?
It's every 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. So 26 pay periods. Okay, great. And then that's a 403B, I presume.
That's a really good question.
Do you get a statement? Do you know how much is in there?
I do not. I have not gotten a statement. I've been back in the system this is my second school year, and I didn't get a statement when I was there in the first place. I've never seen it. my husband has been encouraging me to call them and try to contact them and see. And I just haven't, you know, I haven't had a chance. But the summer.
What does it say on the pay stub? It says employee and employer. What does it say? Does it say anything else there? Like what the contribution is?
It just says it's got a column. It says employer mm-hmm. contribution, and they are putting in $413.92. So I rounded to $414.
Yeah, $414.
For educational retirement, and they're actually putting in $45.61 for the New Mexico retiree healthcare authorization thing too.
And on the above on the box where it has the it just says deductions, and that's just listed as one of them.
Yeah, that's just listed. It's just got, that's it. There's nothing really above it. My gross wages are above it. Okay. But other than that.
And it just says employee and employer contribution.
Yeah. It says amount I'm putting in, you know, it deducted
negative 44.
Mm-hmm. And then there's no negative sign in front of the employer contribution, and that's how much they put in.
So I guess I am curious if it's your pension, like, or if it's a 403B.
Yeah, that's a good question. I really believe it's the pension because of the way my state is about this pension. Okay. Like, we don't have a whole lot of say at all as stakeholders in what they do with it.
Yeah, because you normally do pay into your pension or your retirement benefit.
I can't see on here where I would be paying into it if that's not it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then I was just wondering, because you never elect, because a 403B would be optional, like your husband's deferred comp.
Oh, then no, it's not a 403B. That's just the pension, the pension. State pension. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's getting paid.
I didn't opt into anything. They didn't offer, I don't think they offer that.
Okay. When you find this person at work who knows all your benefits, ask if there's additional, like if there's a 403B available or a retirement savings account as well.
Okay. I hate to do this to you, but my husband just got back to me and he's actually making $39 an hour.
That's fantastic. For the second job?
Yeah.
That's great.
Cool.
That is wonderful. That's fantastic. Okay. So then first savings, we have, why don't we call it 15 right now, really in deferred comp? Because we have 35 on paper, but we've borrowed 20.
No. That's after the 20 is out.
Oh, it's after the 20 is out. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have 35 in there. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be paying back the 20. Got it. Okay. And then you have the 529s, which are around 9,000. And then you have a little bit you said in a high yield savings account.
We have a 1,000 in right now. Because I had to restart it like 3 times.
Okay.
With the move expenses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was expensive. Okay. So you will have 2 pensions and your husband will get his pension like very soon. And I hope he makes it to the 25 because you'll get the max, which would be great. And then it looks like then with his second job, he'll end up making, if he's getting, let's say, 75,000 on the pension, and then it looks like he's making closer to 70,000 with the next job, then you'll have a period of time while he's able to do that. And as you said, he worked a very physical job, so he might not be able to do another 20, which I don't blame him, but if he did it for 5 or 10, whatever he wants to do, you would be in a position where you're bringing in a lot more money than you had previously, because he basically mm-hmm. would be bringing in not quite pages. Double, but yeah. So that would be an opportunity for you guys to focus. What I would recommend, which you probably know what I'm going to say, is to focus on saving.
Totally know what you're going to say. Yes. great advice.
Because it'll give you a window where you have income that you're not used to having.
Yeah.
Right? And it'll give you some breathing room. So I would take some of the breathing room, but I would actually make sure the credit card debt gets paid off first. That's your worst debt, right? Because it can grow. The student loans, I'm really hoping that you're able to do the public service loan forgiveness. Yeah. And I'm very confident you can find a buddy at work who knows everything to know about the benefits. Yes. There's always one, if not two. And then I would probably.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
I would say probably also get rid of the auto loan, the 780, if you can, because that's just like a big chunk of money. But then what I would do is redo your budget and say, can we save, which I would think you'd be able to do, right? If we keep everything else pretty much the same, can we save $1,000 or $2,000 a month so that we have liquidity, right? So that the first thing I would do would be an emergency fund with four children. I think you said three dogs and a house. Those are expensive emergencies.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So I would focus on the debt and then building up the emergency fund. And then from there, what I would do, I think this would be the easiest, is to see what you have available at your job in terms of a retirement, like a 403B in contributing. Okay. And then see with his new career, if he has maybe, because you said it's private or corporately owned, so it would be a 401k. Mm-hmm. And then both enroll in those plans for an amount that's comfortable and then save money. That way you've done the emergency fund, you paid down debt. But I would use that double income where you have your income, you have a pension, and then a second job where you have three sets of income coming in. Mm-hmm. I would use that as a window to get ahead financially.
Okay.
Because that can change the entire trajectory.
Yeah.
You only did it for 5 years, right?
It would really change. Yeah, yes.
It would change everything, honestly. After that 5 years, if you really don't change your lifestyle, which will be hard because it'll be very tempting to live a different lifestyle. But if you continue, you know, living on the same lifestyle and you're really able to save most of that, we'll just say 60,000 or 50,000, if you're able to save most of that coming in after tax, over 5 years, it's a significant amount of money that you could have set aside.
My husband is going to be so like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, but he actually said this to me about a year ago. He was like, we should just completely save.
I would save it.
If
I were you.
Smug. That's what I'm looking for. Smug.
Oh, because I said, okay. So, yeah. Okay. And this is the way I operate. I think financial stress is hard. I think knowing that if there's a problem, it throws everything off, right? I think that even if you don't think about it today and it's not top of mind, I feel like you always kind of know in your body that, God forbid, there's a car accident or there's an emergency vet bill, like, you know, you're teetering, right?
Oh my gosh, like the stupidest thing. I ran into a curb and then ignored my car telling me, hey, something's really wrong with your tire. And then I was just really lucky that I only had to replace the tires and not the actual wheel.
The rim. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I drove, I kept going. I was like, I have to go pick my child up.
I don't have time for this right now.
I was in complete denial. It was ridiculous. And it was a $1,300 accident. And we happened to have the cash. But like you say, like, that's why our savings account is still only $1,000, because there
things come up. Yeah. And you have a lot of people, right? There's like
so many people, Barbara.
There's a lot of people in your family. So like it's maybe you don't have an accident, but one of your kids, you know? So
yeah.
If I were you, I would say continue what you're doing, you know, make your, you know, keeping your heads above water. You're saving in the deferred comp. You're paying back the loan. You're managing, right? The extra I'd put towards the credit card every month if you have it.
Okay.
Hopefully with the savings on gas and utilities.
Yes.
And reworking the budget, you'll end up having a little more monthly, like $700 or $900 extra, you know, and start to tackle the credit card debt once that's done, emergency fund. And then, but when you do have these three sources of income, what I would do if I were in your shoes is use that 5 year period to change your entire life.
Okay. Wow.
If you are able to save that extra income at the end of it, what you could have is a fully funded emergency fund, no debt, and savings.
Yeah, that, wow. That fills me with all kinds of hope.
Yeah, you could have it all done. And then, so your husband, if he works, he's 43 now. And so in 5 years, he's 48, right? 48. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years from there, he's 53. And then you would be 56, right? Mm-hmm. So then at 56, you have no debt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, other than your mortgage, but your mortgage is fine, right? You're going to keep making that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not get crazy. You have no student loans. You have no credit card debt. You have no car loans, right? You have a fully funded emergency fund. You both have retirement accounts. And then let's say maybe you even have an investment account as well. And then at that point, you are also going to have a pension, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's great, but yeah, it's not great like
it's
his.
Still,
but still.
It's still someone sending you a check, mm-hmm. yeah. right?
Right.
And so then two pensions, and then you guys at that point, you are closer than he is, but then you're around 10 years out from Social Security. So even if you both want to pare down, right, your biggest expense at that point will be mortgage and health insurance, but you have very good discipline because you spent 5 years saving, right? Yes. And then you can tone everything down because you're living within a budget. You nailed the budget for the last 5 years. You've saved a ton. You're prepared for any sort of emergency. And then you say, you know, maybe your husband completely stops working and you just live on your income until you get to 60. And then at that point, or 62, I do normally like to take Social Security later, but it's very unique to have two pensions coming in.
Yeah.
And then you guys are going to be, you're going to be cruising at that point.
Oh my gosh, Barbara, that's such good news.
Yeah. It's just going to take a little bit. Like, I mean, I'm playing it out 20 years, but I really think your biggest opportunity to get ahead financially will be when you have three sets of income. And it will be very tempting to live a different life, right? It'll be very tempting to live a life where the household income is over 200,000. That is a different life than you're living. And you could do that. My concern for you is that I think what will give you more joy is knowing that you're financially secure. You don't need to rely on credit cards. It's not a big deal if anything happens. It's also not a big deal if you go over on your grocery budget at that point.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, not having that stress.
Someday, not all the children will be here.
Right. Your expenses will go down.
Someday. Yeah. I mean, we don't know about our child with autism. We're not sure, like, what we might even I'm going to ask them to let me know what it is if I split it for his lifetime too, when I talk to the para people, just to see what that looks like.
Yes, you want to talk to them about that, but you also want to know whether or not he's going to be on any state aid, like Medicaid. Yeah. And so you have to be careful with that type of planning, because inheritance isn't always a good thing if you get someone qualified for government benefits.
Okay.
Because it can kick them off. And so, for instance, let's say when he's done with high school, you get him qualified for state assistance, right? Their incomes need to, he can still get a job. Like, we have clients that are, I don't know exactly what their diagnosis is, but they have like a nice job at the movie theater, right? And they go to work and they have their apartment, but they're on government benefits, right? Like, they're on Medicaid and they're qualified for the apartment based on income. They can't inherit. Like, you can't just give them a bunch of money because they lose their government benefits, and that's very disruptive.
Yes.
And those individuals, and I'm speaking in generalizations, aren't always capable of going and navigating the complex government benefit system to get the, if they got kicked off, to re-enroll themselves in it.
Okay.
So you just want to talk, there are advisors that specialize with special needs planning.
Okay.
So that would be something down the line. Because remember, with the pension, you can't go back and change it.
Okay.
If you put your son on it and then find out it's going to, you can't go back and alt. Those are, you can't edit it.
Okay. We have lots of time.
You have lots of time, but it would be worthwhile meeting, seeing what kind of care your son needs and what kind of benefits he may or may not qualify for. And then determining, you know, should he be getting the pension, or should we be setting up a special needs trust for his benefit and having one of the other children be the trustee, so that if he needs something, we're not screwing up maybe any sort of government benefits he may receive.
Got it.
Yeah. it's kind of, instead of going A to B, you would go like A to C, C to B, you know, just like,
to make sure. Got it. Okay. So advisor specialty. I probably should have been typing. It's fine.
You can listen to it. You don't even need to type it. You can listen to it. Yeah.
Dang, I hope I can read that later. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Thank you for reminding me.
Of course. Yeah, because I have a... Yeah, it's recorded, so you can listen to it. Yeah, because I have a very good friend. His son has special needs, and so he does a lot of that work. Cool. Because it's, you know, he raised his son like that, and so he's very passionate about it. And it's, you know, having lived it and then specialized in it. And so you can find advisors that definitely specialize in how to do that type of planning and making sure that your son is taken care of financially, but then also getting his need taken care of if he's on any state or, you know, government benefit. Yeah,
we're not sure yet. Like, he's so independent in so many ways, and then he gets thrown off by something. So I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, and he's still young, so.
Very, yep.
Yeah. But yes, I think your biggest opportunity is I would continue doing, you know, the correct stuff, right? Which is pay down the credit cards first with anything extra, build the emergency fund. But then your biggest, like, life-changing opportunity
is that three income stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you sacrifice for, and it might happen, I have no idea, right? Like, in the future, like, maybe over the next 5 years, you make a ton of progress. There's no credit card debt and the car loan's paid off. So maybe you already have more bandwidth in 5 years and things go, you know, we've no problems over the next five and everything goes real smooth. I mean, you just don't know. And that's very possible. So then maybe your husband only works for 3 years and you really change everything. You know, you just don't know. But I think that's going to be your biggest window to like fully funded emergency fund, bulk up retirement, and then you'll be cruising, I think.
Yeah. Awesome. That is such good news. Whew.
Those pensions, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having pensions is great. And having a pension where you start so young, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We were lucky. I didn't get my act together. I was just like a wanderer. So I didn't really start my career till I was 30, but he started his career at 23.
Yeah, it's young and you can get your 25 years in real fast. It goes real fast.
Yeah. So. Very young. Very young.
Well, very good. Well, do you have any other questions for me?
No, I feel this weird lightness. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for following up with me. And
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So for all of our lovely listeners, you can find our most up-to-date information on Instagram at Future Rich Podcast or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.